Thanks for listening to Morning Edition today here on AM 580. Now joining us with our opening commodity market report, Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, July wheat opened at 9:32, up 2 on the open. September, 9:42, up 1. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 8:86, up 5 on the open. September, $9, up 1 and a quarter. December, 9:28, up 6. March, 9:46, up 3. July, 9:65, up 6 on the open. July corn opened at 7:33, up 5 and a quarter on the open. September, 7:47, up 5 and a quarter. December, 7:66, up 4 and a half. March, 7:80, up 4. May, 7:89 and a half, up 6. July, 7:87, up 2 and 3 quarters. December of 2009, 6:76, up 5 and a half on the open. July beans open at 15:58, up 12 and a half on the open. August, 15:61, up 13. September, 15:41, up 13. November, 15:31, up 9 and a half. January, 15:43, up 8 and a quarter. March of 2009, 15:50, up 12 and a half. May, 15:51, up 18 and a half. And November, 14:70, up 8 and a half. Of course, that's the 2009 version. July soybean meal opened at 4:20, up 50. August, 4:18, up 160 on the open. July soybean oil opened at 64.90, up 78 on the open. August, 65.35, up 89. June live cattle opened at 95.75, up 57 and a half on the open. August feeders, 111.30, up 20 on the open. July lean hogs, 75.15, up 87 and a half on the open. In July bellies, 72.45, up 27 and a half on the open.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we learned from NASS yesterday that they're not going to have a handle on harvested or planted acres until at least the August 12th crop production report. What will traders make of it?
Well, I don't think they'll handle that very well, Dave, and I'm really surprised that NASS came out and said that. I'm just very skeptical that they're going to wait that long, given what's going on in the ethanol and livestock industry. I would think they really feel the urgency of needing to get a grasp on what's happening as much as they possibly can, especially with some of this legislation being thrown around by Senator Lieberman, that they're going to limit some of the speculation in the commodity markets here and draft some legislation to that effect. But markets will handle that like probably a person walking into a piranha-infested river, because it's probably going to be that treacherous and that volatile and that violent in the marketplace, because you really can't get a handle on it without the government's help. I think there's very few private trade industry resources, crop tours, things like that, that can really give what the trade would expect as a non-biased mindset. So crop tours and private consultations and press releases will probably be traded immediately by the trade, because they don't have any other better source to go by.
Does the June acreage report get discounted by traders?
Quite possibly now with this information. I mean, it just goes back to yesterday. I took a trip to Ohio, and, you go from Lafayette to Indianapolis, and we're looking at fields that, cornfields, there's about, a third of those cornfields were 2 feet or less in height. And probably about 20% of the bean fields were just emerging at that point, whether it's from planting or replanting. But you go from Indianapolis to Dayton, Ohio, and you go straight east on 70, and I was struck that the cornfields 2 feet or less are about half in number, about 50% from what I could count. And the beans emerging were over two-thirds at that point, about 6 in every 7 in every 10 fields. Beans were just coming through the ground. It literally looked like I was driving on May 18th, not June 18th or June 19th. So I think they will, work very aggressively on discounting the June report if it doesn't have very much in it.
Are new crop prices high enough to kill demand?
Well, they are, but I think it goes back to the biggest questions we're going to have all year And it just goes back to the new forecast. The 6 to 10 day models are starting to show a hotter and drier bias. Some of our private weather consultants are saying the same thing. The two biggest questions we're going to have all summer long is demand falling faster than supply or vice versa, and what's the government going to do? Because given the past, they'll do something. Even if it's wrong, they're going to try and do something, and it looks like that's stacking up greater and greater in favor. So you could answer that question as yes. In the medium term, you sure are. You can see that with what China did with raising their fuel prices. Surprisingly, yesterday, you know, most of the people in the industry thought that it would be well after the Olympics before China would do something. But between China and India, we're looking at, you know, 11% to 25% inflation, and based upon who you talk to and what private statistic you use. So certainly the food prices and fuel prices are high enough that you're hurting even the emerging markets. And we're down 1% versus last year based upon some new energy data as far as motor gasoline demand. So no question we are, but is the greater question still, is supply dropping faster? And that's where that weather remains the focal point.
Which takes me back to 1993, Mike, and trying to make the argument for or against it's like that year. And what would you say?
Well, I think it's for that year because of the extent of damage we're having right now. You can't even get close to accept 1993. And even the people living that tragedy right now and the epic conditions they're going through still talk about 1993 when they're interviewed by the media. And we were down 6.4% in corn acres when it was all said and done in 1993, down 6.6% in bean acres when it was all said and done. The USDA was very slow to react that year, Dave. It looked like mainly going back by month, it looked like mainly September was the key month that they really jumped on the train and said, we've got problems. And so that's what I hope we don't go down this path with them talking about nothing until August, because if they do that, then we could look for maybe 3 to 4 straight months of reductions in both acres and yield, depending on the future weather, just like we had back then in 1993. And that just keeps everybody on pins and needles and the volatility at historic proportions.
Okay, so we've brought up the word volatility several times in our interview thus far. What are producers going
to
do?
I think it goes back to the puts, Dave. I think I do believe that the demand is falling. I think I do believe, and we all here believe, that the government is going to do something. I suspect that they're going to do something before the election instead of waiting till after the election. And I think that's where it goes back to when we get to a right point in time. And what point in time that is, I don't know yet. But when we get to the right point in time, we're going to recommend getting back on the train of puts. And one of the main reasons I'm sticking with that mindset is not just the volatility, but also if you took a decent type of harvest option and crop insurance, if the markets go higher into fall and we do replay this 93 market all over again and the USDA's Johnny come lately, then at least that crop insurance and that harvest price will be recalculated in favor of you. And I've got that as a backdoor if prices keep going higher. So I suspect between the next 30 and 40 days, we'll go right back onto the put mindset.
And the other question I hear a lot from producers is a lament. They say, we're oversold at $5, now what?
Oversold at $5, I'm not sure what that means.
They sold too much of their crop at too low price.
I thought you were meaning like an overbought, oversold mindset. Yeah, oversold at $5, that's exactly right. I think that's where it goes back to the spreads are extremely important here this next 30 days. The spreads take on a heightened meaning, I think, in this time period, Dave, because of the damage we've done to the old crop corn and beans as much as we've done to the new crop corn and beans, and how tight the producers are going to hold whatever remaining bushels they have exactly because of what you just said. So I really look for those bull spreads to start to work. They may not work until after the July futures go into delivery, because that's exactly what happened back in 1995. The Johnny speculator could not come in and then speculate the bull spreads back in those time periods, because it was after delivery when you couldn't hold on to those longs like you would like to have because you're already in the delivery process. But I think the cash market and the spread markets are taking on a whole new heightened level of importance and are going to be probably the best indicator of what the price trend is while we wait for all this information to come.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. December corn at 766 and a half, up 5, and November beans, 1533, up 11 and a half. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.